And we're live for a new episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host. And this week, I'm alone. Seth had some scheduling issues with his family and the podcast that didn't match. So I'm going to run the show alone this week. So bear with me with all the technicalities of the StreamYard. It's my first time running the stream as the host. But it should work fairly well. I think I've been playing with it for the last 30 minutes, and it's been going fairly good so far. If you have any question about the articles that we are going to discuss today, or just general question about Electrek and our reporting, make sure to ask in the comment section below the stream, and I'll try to get to them later on in the show. But let's start with our first article of the day, which is going to be Cybertruck Gigafactory. Okay, so we knew about a new Gigafactory in the US. Tesla's been talking about it for a while, whether it would be on the East Coast, whether it'd be in Central US, it wasn't exactly clear. Also, the production that Tesla wants to do there wasn't clear either, though since the Cybertruck unveiling in November, it's starting to become clearer that Tesla needs a factory just for the Cybertruck itself, because it's going to be a high-volume vehicle, a whole new way to manufacture electric vehicles too, so they're going to be a whole new processes that Tesla needs to develop. And it would make sense for Tesla to do that in a new factory. Now, there's been rumors of Texas for a while. Tesla has some link to Texas, especially in Austin, where they have their chip team there, where the FSD computer was partly developed. And also, of course, Samsung is there, and Samsung is Tesla's partner for the full self-driving computer. Also, Elon Musk has other links there through SpaceX, where SpaceX has deployed a lot of operation there in Texas. Then a few months ago, he tweeted, Texas Gigafactory, yes or nope? And of course, a lot of people were into it, which prompted people to think that Tesla was looking into building a Gigafactory there. But now this week, what Elon tweeted was specifically about a Cybertruck Gigafactory. So he confirmed that he wants a factory to produce a Cybertruck. And he mentioned this time just Central US. So it could still technically be Texas, but it could be also a bunch of other places. So he clearly said that Tesla is scouting a new location in the region. He also said that the factory is going to produce the Model Y for the East Coast. There was some confusion about that for a while because the way he phrased it. Okay, now we have that on the other one. So excuse me if you're watching the stream. The way he phrased it wasn't exactly clear because he mentioned that it was cutting areas for a Cybertruck Gigafactory. Then he mentioned Model Y production for East Coast. So some people misreported that it would be another Gigafactory on top of the Cybertruck Gigafactory for Model Y production, and that would be on the East Coast. But I asked Elon to clarify, and he did confirm that he's just talking about a single factory that would focus on the Cybertruck, but it would also produce Model Y, so there would be Model Y production lines there, and those Model Y would be for the East Coast domain. So probably something closer to the East Coast, reduced logistic costs related to it, all makes a ton of sense. And now, about where it's going to be, it looks like Texas might still be in the running. However, there's rumors of Nashville. Several different publication mentioned sources saying that Tesla has visited Nashville for the possible Gigafactory location, or at least Nashville area. And if you guys are familiar with Tennessee, it's sort of becoming a hub of EVs. There's going to be two EV factories there, so maybe not a hub, but if there's a third one, then yeah, sure, we can start calling it a hub. So forever, Nissan has been producing the Leaf there at the Simra factory, I think. And Volkswagen at the Chattanooga factory, they are building, like right next to it, they are building a second factory just for their electric cars that they are going to build in the US, their crossover and the minibus so far have been confirmed for US manufacturing. So yeah, further another thing that was mentioned. So yeah, Texas still probably in the running. Now Nashville is added to the list. We don't know of any other location. Of course, a lot of people raise their hands like, I want this to be done in Mississippi. I want this to be done in Alabama. I want this to be done in North Carolina or whatever. But what we know for sure that Tesla considered was Texas and Nashville so far. Elon did send an email to the Wall Street Journal about the search for this new Gigafactory location. And he mentioned, I'm quoting here, incentives play a role, but so do logistic costs, access to a large workforce with a wide range of talent, and quality of life. So all those things, of course, make sense. It also sounds that Tesla is going to be negotiating itself a sweet incentive package. So that would be the first for a while for Tesla, because of course there was Gigafactory 1 in Nevada. Tesla negotiated a sweet deal there. Of course, this has been some misreporting about the deal, like saying that Tesla got like $1.2 billion in incentive. They got $1.2 billion basically in revenue, tax revenue breaks. Tax breaks were for the on the revenue over 20 years. And to achieve that, they need to spend like $100 billion in the factory over time to payroll and also their capital investment in the factory. So it's not like a $1.2 billion check that they got. So let's keep that in mind when we go into the inevitable negotiation that Tesla's going to have with some states regarding Cybertruck Gigafactory now it's known. So it sounds like how I see it is probably Texas is most likely still the runner up, in the lead, but Tesla might be having some issue with their incentive package negotiation. So that's why Elon made it clear that it's opened up to all of central US, and now the rumors of Nashville being in the running, probably putting some pressure on Texas. But I wouldn't be surprised if Texas is still the focus for Tesla. Model Y, let's discuss a little bit the Model Y because, of course, breaking news first off, I should start with that. The first Model Y deliveries to customers happened. Just got a confirmation of the first one in Utah, for all places. Trying to get in touch with the owner that took delivery because that's very exciting. It might really be the first one, or there might be a bunch of others happening at the same time. We expect a lot more reports on that in the coming hours. Most likely. But yeah, so that happened earlier this week. We saw a bunch of indication that the deliveries were ramping up for people receiving actual confirmation. So the last few weeks, we saw like the orders confirmation, and Tesla was sort of giving a March 15th to March 30th type of time frame. But now it looks that it's actually starting now. And this also opened up order confirmation for the white interior. So that's interesting. We got a white interior now. That sounds like it could start production relatively soon because people were giving the same time frame of that March 15th to 30th. We have seen also some production unit prototypes, either pre-production or production intent prototypes sighting over the last few weeks of the white interior. So that's definitely coming. Yeah, and VIN numbers that have been reported so far are in the low thousands. So I think the highest I've seen was at 1,300 or something like that. So that's starting to make sense to me in terms of like what Tesla could deliver by the end of the month. Of course, dependent of the crazy situation we have now with the coronavirus. Today, Tesla updated the range on the Model Y long range all-wheel drive. So that's what was one concern in terms of the delivery volume for the quarter, because Tesla only got its EPA rating for the performance version of the car, but it was also the company was also getting confirming deliveries for the long-range all-wheel drive version of the car, which is, of course, less, a little bit less expensive than the performance version. But they never had an actual EPA rating on that car. They were listing it at the same 315 miles of range as the performance version. Now they bumped that up this morning at 316, so just 1 mile. Of course, that's not really significant in itself. But what it tells me, though, if Tesla is bumping that, it's probably like they got their actual EPA rating. We haven't seen it on the website yet, on the EPA website, but I expect that to be updated very soon. And that would mean that Tesla is actually going to be allowed. Maybe they're already allowed now, or they're going to be allowed in the next few days to deliver the all-wheel drive, long-range, non-performance version of the Model Y. So good news for the people who are buying that car right now. Also, you get 1 more mile of range. All right. You'll take it, probably. new pictures. Thanks to new friend of the site, Eric Weaver. Spotted, he's a Model Y reservation holder in Arizona, and he found Model Y in a staging area near the Tesla service center there in Scottsdale. And the people at Tesla there were super nice to him, and they let him get inside the car and everything. And he shared with us some very good picture, probably the best look at the interior of the car we've seen so far. Looks very good. Everything looked mostly as expected. What was new from that report really was we actually got a look. We already had a look like this, what we're looking at right now, which is the like hidden compartment at the base of the trunk. Tesla has that in all their vehicles. But we also saw a second compartment just over that one, another hidden compartment in the trunk, not as deep as the main one, but it's the second one that could still be useful. Sorry. Most likely because this is a five-seater configuration. There's no third row seat. So without having to use that, Tesla can fit in a little bit more storage compartment. So that's appreciated. We also got the first look at the frunk of the Model Y. Decent size frunk, very similar to the Model 3. But that new hidden compartment could be very useful, like to just put a few things that you want to always keep in your trunk, like tire fixing kit or even the mobile charging cable, while keeping your whole trunk looking clean. Like I like that a lot about Tesla vehicles, where you have that second storage compartment, always looks clean that way. In other news, Tesla announced this week that it produced its millionth, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, its million, 1 millionth car. It was a Model Y also too, so that's nice. It shows that Tesla is going production capacity through that. And of course, massive achievement. We reported last year, based on data from our friend Kevin Rook, who plotted the production of Tesla's vehicle against BYD, who until then was considered the biggest electric vehicle automaker in the world. At that time, in October, Tesla had just produced just over 800,000 vehicles, which made it surpass BYD, becoming the largest electric vehicle producer in the world. And of course, that's all electric vehicle. BYD also produced plug-in hybrids. So another big achievement for Tesla here. They managed to become the biggest one while still only producing all electric vehicles. And now they're already at a million. And you could argue that it took a while to get there. Tesla's been producing cars since 2008. So that's 12 years. But now what's clear, at least, is that it's going to be a lot faster to get to the next million, because Tesla is most likely going to have an annualized production capacity by the end of this year, over 600,000 cars. So that's less than 2 years, and they're going to make their next million. So that's very impressive on its own, I think. All right, on the coronavirus type of news affecting Tesla right now, that's on a lot of people's mind, I guess. The state of emergency just been declared in the U.S. And Tesla, just before that, the day before that, Donald Trump announced that it's going to be a ban starting today for travel from Europe to the U.S. So Tesla decided to withdraw all their U.S. employees in Berlin that were working on Gigafactory 2. So as you can imagine, even though Tesla started hiring locally for Gigafactory Berlin. They had a significant sized team from the US there working on the planning for the entire process and also the hiring itself, because they're going to have to recruit a lot of people there. And that was a team of about 30 people. But local German media announced that Tesla has been recalling them to the US due to that ban and concern. Now there's some concern that it's going to affect the timeline for the Gigafactory Berlin, which is not too surprising, really. They were planning to break ground this month, so let's see if that gets pushed back because of the situation right now. I mean, we cannot blame them too much. I'm sure that those U.S. employees want to be with their family, with their families in this challenging time. All right. In other news, Lexus dealership span. That was a that was an interesting article. Josh Kasky received that. Josh Kasky is a Tesla owner in the Austin, Texas area. And he was surprised to get a flyer in his mail earlier this week from his local Lexus dealership, Lexus of Lake Way. And on that flyer, it said, "Trade in your Tesla. You have had your fun. Now it's time for zero compromise." So apparently they are marketing directly to Tesla owners. They found some of them, their information and their address. It's not clear how, but they obtained that. And they send out those flyers to try to convert them to Lexus. And it's a little bit sad because there's some misinformation on there. They're actually offering a $1,000 discount if you can prove to that you're a Tesla owner. You don't actually need to do a trade-in, but if you do this, they're going to offer you a great value for it, which in itself, like, I mean, they are admitting in the flyer that Tesla is fun. And on top of that, they are saying that you're going to get great value for your Tesla. So that means that they think you can sell it for another great value, because that's how trade-in works. So I mean, there's some weird things on that front. What's a little bit sadder is the EV misinformation about it. So first of all, they start by saying it's a compromise to have an EV. And with your Lexus, you won't have any compromise. That's what they imply, I guess. And then in the back, they go off, they list all the advantages of buying with Lexus, including local dealer network. Again, I don't think that's an actual advantage over Tesla. No delay on parts. All right, this one I cannot blame them too much. Tesla had an history of delays on part, but they've been going a lot better. They've built a bunch of warehouses just for their part network. So we expect a lot of improvement on that front. Zero range issues or anxiety. Okay, that's the kind of EV misinformation that I don't want to see people propagating like they do. Lexus does there. And Lexus, I mean, this is a dealer, of course, but Lexus itself has a long history of bad marketing regarding electric vehicles, with their whole self-charging thing, which everybody calls an hybrid. They call it self-charging. And they actually went under fire in some markets over that, because some consumer production agencies were like, "Nope, you can't do that. That's not actually true." But yeah, that's just a latest example of that. Very sad. So not Donald Trump, but very sad. Another sad news, BMW canceled its plan to launch the iX3 in the US. All right, that one really bums me out. And it's not postponed like the Mercedes EQC that now coming next year instead of this year, after already launching in Europe. Which, of course, makes sense to a degree for Mercedes, because they want to focus their EV sales in Europe right now, because there's already regulations that are forcing them to sell more EVs. Otherwise, they're going to be fined some significant amount, like FCA Chrysler and Fiat Chrysler, who are going to pay billions of dollars to Tesla to avoid those fines. So they want to avoid that. But BMW didn't say that. They didn't say, "All right, we're going to focus in Europe now. I'm going to postpone everywhere else." They said that they don't have any plans to launch the vehicle in the US right now. We're kind of excited about that car for a few different reasons. First of all, it's going to be the first car that's going to have the fifth-gen electric powertrain from BMW. So it's a brand new powertrain. It's not going to be like the i3 or the Mini E that was recently launched, that were using BMW's previous electric architecture. This is a whole new platform that's supposed to support longer range and more powerful electric motors, dual motor configuration, and things like that. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. Of course, we expect that's because of regulations. And the other thing is, like, the price might have been pretty interesting because they plan to build that car in China and export it to the US and other markets. So, of course, some people have issue with having a car built in China, but still a BMW vehicle, still built to their standard, I would hope. So the price could have been interesting because of that or not, because there's also a lot of logistical stuff, cost attached to that. So we'll see. So yeah, that was a quick episode this week, okay, with no banter with Seth, so that I can get into the question very quick, and we'll make it a quick show. Let's go back to this and like that. Heaven Guy says 900,000 cars delivered and over a million produced might be another record quarter. We don't know about that. It's a record quarter. It's really for produced vehicle, it looks like it's going to be a very good quarter for sure. Now for deliveries, that's another thing. Well, we don't know for sure. Tesla had some issue in China, of course, especially with the coronavirus situation. There's some markets in Europe where the demand is going to be much lower than last quarter due to some changes in incentive. As we previously reported, though, the US market seems still pretty good. Well, that was a few weeks ago. So, of course, the situation is probably worsened with the coronavirus stuff. But the up to a few weeks ago, sales were doing pretty good in the US. So that was at least encouraging. Can Tesla change Cybertruck stainless steel to other material? I doubt it. I don't think that's the point for them. The big feature of the car is the fact that it's the stainless steel exoskeleton. Angel Sanchez, I think he's trying to negotiate between states so that Tesla gave him a better deal. Yeah, I hinted to something like that would make sense too. David Pina says, how is the 400,000 Model X doing? Pretty good. If you guys are following, I bought the highest mileage Model X earlier this month. I made the first video about it. There's going to be a new video coming out next week and a new post about it. And last weekend, I took it to Hohai in the Las Padres mountain. And I mean, that was quite a challenge for any car. I mean, we climbed like 4,000 feet and everything. And it did very well. I'm very surprised by it. And like I mentioned, the first deal, the suspension is a bit stiff. It's still in its original suspension. We're looking into a way to change that on the cheap. We'll see about that. I'll report that. But so far, so good. Very impressed. Maybe. Yeah, Model X update. Yeah, just did that. Just Suite de Montréal. Hey, Johnny. John J. When do you think Giga Berlin will make its first Tesla? The official timeline is July 2021. Whether they will respect that or not, I have no idea at this point. It's just too many variables, especially with the current situation. Well, let's see when they actually break ground. If they do break ground later this month, then yeah, I think that's very likely for them to keep that schedule. If not, if it's pushed, then I think the end date to production is actually going to be pushed too, unless Tesla accounted for some delays in there, but the timeline already seems so aggressive that I have my doubts about that. Joel Sapp asks, do you think GM's battery pack strategy will allow for proper cooling when the packs are packed with the most modules? Wouldn't they get less cooling on their side? I think module cooling is accounted too. So they have pack cooling and modules so that all the cells are covered to have thermal management for them. So I don't think that should be an issue. But of course, we had some just a brief overview of GM's battery module strategy. And so we really need long-term tests for that stuff, to be honest. So that's most likely what we would like to see. Any update on popularity on Tesla in China in terms of market share from all three compared to EV companies? Yeah, they're doing well. They own a big part of the market. I think 2/3 of the market last month. Of course, auto market has crashed a lot. I think 80% so far through the Corona crisis. So it's not to say much. At least they can maintain some decent level of sales within that crisis while the automakers are suffering more from it. So I think that's a silver lining for Tesla, but still, it's such a weird situation right now that it's hard to really see Tesla's popularity in the long term, what it's going to look like based on what we're seeing right now. It's a wait to see situation, but with the latest thing that happened this week, which we didn't discuss in the podcast, I can discuss real quick. And now it's not just a Chinese thing. So yeah, I think it's also important we discuss it. Tesla has been delivering some Model 3 vehicles where they claim, at least on the cell documents, because they just didn't bother to change them, that the cars are equipped with the full self-driving hardware 3.0 system for Autopilot. And the car are actually equipped with 2.5 Autopilot computers in there. All right, so that's not a great situation. Tesla already said that they plan to upgrade everyone. Why they installed that is because of a supply issue and they're going to fix it. However, they didn't went ahead of the problem and tell the owners that they were buying cars that had a 2.5 autopilot in there. They claimed that everyone at the 3.0, if they order the full self-driving package, and if you order that, then you actually can take advantage of the more powerful computer, which you don't if you don't buy the package. So Tesla was like, especially Elon Musk was like, there's not really any problem because they wouldn't see the difference. Of course, that's not entirely through, even though yes, on the customer facing it's true, but at the end of the day, when you say on the cell document your that car has a certain part and it doesn't have it, it's gonna irritate some people for sure. But in China, it became a really big deal. That's where the news came out first. People at first they thought that only made in China Model 3s were affected, but now we are learning that actually people in Europe are affected by the same problem too, and other people in China that are getting imported vehicles and not just made in China vehicles, so the higher end Model 3s. So yeah, that affected Tesla apparently's reputation in China for a while, and the government even had to meet with them and ask them like, "What's up, guys? What you doing with that? Like, that's not fair." So maybe Tesla has a little bit of a uphill battle there to gain some goodwill with customers because they're even being sued right now over it, which is quite extreme in my opinion, since Tesla already said that they're going to fix the issue. Some owners apparently were concerned about the retrofit itself process could have some safety issue, but I think those people are just not aware of how easy the retrofit process is for the hardware 3.0 computer. So maybe Tesla, I think it's a communication issue to start with. Tesla needs to fix that. It wasn't the first time Tesla has a communication issue. It's most likely going to be more of it. Fred, have you physically seen the Model Y as yet? I just joined the podcast. No, Gook, I haven't. I'm trying to do that next week. If any listeners are taking delivery in the Los Angeles area, let me know next week. And I would love to, if you can... welcome me to check out your car for a few minutes, a few hours if possible, if I can push it. Also going to be in San Diego this weekend. So if you, for some reason, you're taking delivery there, I'm going to be around to check it out, do a quick video. But we're going to post a ton about the Model Y in the coming days because we're getting a ton of reports from owners that are taking deliveries, and that's awesome. Keep them coming. We're going to get some pretty good in-depth look at the vehicle. Joel asks, why doesn't iTrack do any YouTube channel which delve into different tech in detail? Seems like you guys are generally more knowledgeable than a bunch of the channels out there. We are trying to increase our presence on YouTube. That's for sure. That's a media that's very interesting to us. We have Micah, if you guys, that's our main YouTube partner. Micah is a personal electric transportation reporter. He does the scooters, he does the bikes, he does the motorcycles, all that stuff. And I mean, in my opinion, he's the most knowledgeable guy in the world when it comes to that stuff. And he's a great video producer, so he goes into detail with that. And you can actually check his personal YouTube channel where he goes even more detail. If you want some deep dive in technology, ebikeschool.com, which doesn't only cover e-bikes, by the way, but other electrical stuff, I highly recommend it. But yeah, we're going to do our own stuff. Like right now, I have my series on the Model X, the highest mileage Model X, highest and probably cheapest Model X in the world. So I'm going to do my own series on that. First episode is out now, and we're going to have a bunch of other ones in the coming weeks. So I think that's cool. But yeah, we're going to try to produce more video content and that stuff. All right. So that's it for us this week. And thanks a lot for listening. You can give the video a thumbs up and give a subscribe for the next one. We're going to be same time, same place next week, hopefully with Seth this time. And hopefully with a world that's not in a complete crisis and buying all the toilet paper everywhere. All right. Have a good one.